Chapter 10. Mutes. They come in the dark of night. Healthy cattle are silently and skillfully killed, and their organs are removed, usually an eye, a tongue, an ear, reproductive organs, and the rear end. We have spoken to many veterinarians who marvel at the precision and skill of the cuts. The cattle surgeons are indeed superb at what they do. From 1975 to 1977, in two Colorado counties alone, there were nearly 200 reports of mutilated cattle. Governor Richard D. Lamb flew to Pueblo on September 4, 1975, to confer with the executive board of the Cattlemen's Association about the mutilations, which he called one of the greatest outrages in the history of the Western cattle industry. The governor added, "It is no longer possible to blame predators for the mutilations." In the 1970s, in addition to the scores of cases in northeastern Colorado, hundreds, perhaps thousands, of animal mutilation reports were investigated by local law enforcement, with cases occurring in 15 states, from Minnesota and South Dakota and Montana to New Mexico and Texas. So great was the alarm of ranchers that in April of 1979, ex-astronaut and then New Mexico Senator Harrison Schmidt held a one-day hearing on cattle mutilations in Albuquerque. Schmidt began the hearings by saying, "There are few activities more dangerous than an unsolved pattern of crime. There is always the potential for such crimes to escalate in frequency and severity if allowed to go unsolved and unpunished. In the last 5 years, and probably longer, in at least 15 states, animals have been killed and systematically mutilated for no apparent purpose by persons unknown." In those days, cattle mutilations were taken seriously by politicians, not least because in several states, angry ranchers, convinced that this was an illegal government operation, had begun firing at low-flying National Guard and other military helicopters. Immediately following the New Mexico Conference, a New Mexico State research stipend funded a formal investigation of the cattle mutilation phenomena, and retired FBI bank robber expert Ken Rommel was hired to lead the investigation. Unfortunately, Rommel knew very little about pathology. He knew nothing about the procedures for conducting necropsies, and he entered the topic with his mind made up that this was nothing more than a few ignorant, uneducated ranchers misidentifying perfectly ordinary predator or scavenger attacks. For 6 months, Rommel sat on the back of a horse and took a few cursory photographs of dead cows. Then he filed a 300-page report showing that cattle mutilations were actually caused by predators or scavengers. Not a single necropsy was conducted during this period by Rommel's team, nor was even rudimentary pathology carried out. In short, the investigation was undistinguished and lacked any thoroughness. The report was published with much fanfare, solving the cattle mutilation mystery, and it provided the perfect rationale for many veterinarians and law enforcement officers to avoid the often disgusting and bizarre subject. While there are good arguments to be made that a large number of cattle mutilations are actually a covert monitoring operation for infectious diseases, diseases that are deemed necessary by the agriculture and health authorities to keep under wraps for fear of scaring the public, a smaller but undetermined number of cattle mutilations are clearly carried out with a different aim. And if that aim is to strike fear and/or terror into the local community, then they have certainly succeeded. Cattle mutilations are distinguished by the anomalously sudden death of the animals with rarely any signs of a struggle. Normally, when an animal dies, even when it is butchered, it will thrash its legs or struggle in the final throes of death agony. Not so with the cattle mutilations. No tracks, human footprints, or tire marks are usually detected on the scene. This lack of evidence is frustrating to the legions of law enforcement professionals who have unsuccessfully investigated cattle mutilations. Police investigations into cattle mutilations usually fall into one of two categories. Most police feel disgust and intimidation and are less than motivated to investigate. Others dismiss the mutilation as the work of predators or scavengers. But to a few, animal mutilations are a crime, an affront to a family and its property, and they do an excellent job investigating the cases. Sheriff Tex Graves from Sterling, Colorado, Deputy Wyatt Goring from Cache County, Utah, Captain Keith Wolverton from Great Falls, Montana, Tommy Bland from Texas, Officer Ted Oliphant from Fife, Alabama, and Officer Gabe Valdez from Dulce, New Mexico, are all members of the select group of police officers who did not run away or attempt to ridicule cattle mutilations. And oftentimes they suffered for their bravery and diligence. In spite of their conscientiousness and that of their colleagues, cattle mutilations today remain a law enforcement enigma. Not a single person has been caught or charged in the entire 35-year history of the phenomenon. The paranormal cattle mutilations may have been around a long time. According to researcher Tommy Bland, precise mutilations of livestock have been recorded in England and Scotland as far back as 1810. And Jacques Vallée described an early cattle mutilation that took place in the 1890s when a farmer walked into his backyard and over his field saw a cigar-shaped craft floating about 40 feet off the ground. Below was one of his cows dangling by a thick cord. The craft got away, but he found his cow dead and badly cut and burned across the street the next day. In 1967, a horse called Lady died under suspicious circumstances in the San Luis Valley in Colorado. The San Luis Valley was home to an almost infinite variety of legendary paranormal activity, so it was perhaps fitting that the first widely reported mutilation case would take place there. After this initial incident, the action started in Minnesota and North Dakota, and within months had moved to northeastern Colorado. There are no hard estimates of how frequently cattle mutilations occur, but it is certain that only a minority get reported. The stigma associated with a bizarre, satanic, cult-like phenomenon mixed with a hint of psychological warfare is simply too much for most God-fearing ranching families. It is the exception rather than the rule to go public with these reports. Most just bury the remains of the unfortunate animal and hope the problem goes away. Cattle mutilations were not unknown in the Uintah Basin before the arrival of the Gorman family in 1994. Local police had already investigated a couple of dozen cases in the 1970s, many within striking distance of the ranch. Even back in the 1960s, according to local eyewitnesses, there was evidence of cattle mutilations on the very property that the Gormans would move on to. In hindsight, locals remember a series of particularly grisly mutilations in the 1960s and the 1970s on that very same acreage, and the surrounding ranches were not immune. In fact, the Uintah Basin became such a hotbed of cattle mutilation in the 1970s that well-known mutilation investigator Carl Whiteside from the Colorado Bureau of Investigation even made it a practice to take the trip across the Utah-Colorado border in a helicopter to land near felled animals in farmers' fields. Local ranchers in the Uintah Basin still talk about the Colorado investigative team's unbelievable rudeness and obnoxious behavior. And what was their diagnosis after investigating multiple cases? Predators. But a small number of veterinarians who have had the courage to go to the scene of the mutilations and investigate the cause of death tend to rule out the predator scavenger theory in favor of something much more sinister. The deliberate killing of the cattle and precise surgical removal of organs has been described on numerous occasions. So, unknown to Gorman, his ranch was not unique in the long history of the cattle mutilation phenomenon. It was unusual, but not unique, for so many animals to be killed and to disappear from a single ranch in such a short period of time. When it occurs, it usually involves insurance fraud. There have been other examples, some well-known and some not so famous, of dozens of livestock being lost to the phantom surgeons from a single ranch over a relatively short period of time. For example, a ranch in northern New Mexico had lost a few dozen animals in the 1990s, and another well-known ranch in northern California had also suffered an excess of 30 animals killed or missing during the 1990s. And a Canadian ranch near Maqua, in northwestern Saskatchewan, lost more than a dozen animals to mutilations over a two-year period around 1995. But by and large, the focused decimation of a single herd is unusual. Gorman may have been relatively atypical in having so many registered animals mutilated or missing over a 15-month period, but the consequences to the Gorman family were both economically and psychologically devastating. They were being harassed on their own property by a ruthless and unseen enemy.